All right, and so we are about to get underway here for the fourth in our series and the final of our KPFA Local Station Board Candidates Forum for the listener seats on the KPFA Local Station Board in the upcoming election. I'm Jim Bennett, and I'm hosting this program. As many of you know, I'm a KPFA programmer and also a longtime engineer and former manager of the station, and I'm glad to be here. The election process began while I was still manager of KPFA, and I'm very much supportive of this process and the way that this election process has unfolded over the course of the last few years, and I hope that many of you are willing and able to participate in this upcoming KPFA Local Station Board election. And with me here in KPFA studios, before we get underway in talking to our candidates, is KPFA's Local Station Board Election Supervisor. And welcome. And also we have the Assistant Local Supervisor as well, Felipe. But Janae, welcome to our microphones here.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. It's nice to be here. Thanks for joining us on our last on-air forum. We have another forum scheduled from 11 a.m. to 12 noon. This morning, the candidates that we have joining us, we have Stan Woods, we have Steve Zeltzer, we have Warren Marr, and we have Susan McDonald.
Can you tell me a little bit about the format of this program, how we're going to go about presenting candidates' statements and answering some questions, what we're going to do this hour?
Okay. The format of this morning is quite simple. I'll be asking a question to one of the candidates, and it would serve as their opening statement. They have 3 minutes maximum to complete that statement, and shortly I'll be passing around a hat with some numbers in them to each candidate, and each number that they have correspond to a question. And we ask that questions be answered in 2 minutes or less.
All right, and I'll also be keeping time here and trying to move things along, and we ask the candidates to cooperate as much as you can in terms of meeting the time limit here, because we are under a definite constraint here to try to give everybody equal time. We've got to finish on time, so we hope that will happen. And Janae, why don't you start things off?
Okay, so we'll first start with Steve Zeltzer. Steve, this is your opportunity to give your opening statement. What, Steve, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you for joining us, Steve. Steve is joining us from across country this morning. Steve, your question is, what does the slogan KPFA, Radio for Peace, mean to you?
Well, I think that KPFA and Pacifica can be a vital voice for getting the issues out of war and justice and human rights. Pacifica is the most important alternative network in the United States for alternative point of views about war. And my view is that KPFA and the Pacifica have to be more proactive. For example, when there are national demonstrations in Washington, there's an opportunity to have voices from throughout the country, from other Pacifica stations and from people around the world about what the war has meant, including veterans, including the people of Iraq and people of the Middle East and people all over the world. And I think that we need to refocus KPFA and Pacifica so it begins to engage and not just simply play the demonstrations or rallies of the speakers, but actually get programmers to contribute programming on specific areas on how the war is affecting people. I think, and my view is that KPFA and Pacifica have to become more activists. This is a desperate situation for people around the world and more people in the United States. And I think that KPFA can be a way of bringing out the voices and getting people involved politically. So I believe, as a matter of fact, that there should be radio carts on the air, support, encouraging people to go to the protests. And unfortunately, the station management has, in some cases, prevented that. I also think that we need more community voices. We need more youth voices. For example, a lot of young people do programming on podcasting and others. They could be involved in contributing to the question of the war. We could have educators, teachers. There's a whole campaign nationally to get the military out of the schools. That could be integrated into programming when there are international demonstrations against the war. So I think KPFA and Pacifica need to have a strategy towards using the network and using the voices to get people involved. And lastly, I think the key to, one of the keys in my view to ending the war is working people. And I think that there has to be more labor programming at KPFA. There should be a one-hour weekly labor show at KPFA. And I think we need to get more voices of working people and train working people to do programming as community programmers at KPFA to get their voices out and how the war is affecting education, housing, health care, that people can't afford health care, yet billions, trillions of dollars are being spent on war. So I think that's my view of what KPFA and Pacifica could be doing around the issue of war.
Thank you very much, Steve Zeltzer, for your opening statement there. And, Janae, let's continue here.
Okay. Thank you, Steve. Next, we'll go to Stan Woods. Stan, how are you this morning?
All right. How are you?
Good. I'm good. What does KPFA's slogan, Radio for Peace, mean to you?
Well, much of it, I'd have to echo much of what Steve Zeltzer said in that regards. I first heard KPFA when I was briefly visiting the Bay Area in the early 70s. I didn't move here to the end of the 70s, but I spent 2 or 3 months here in the early 70s. And I remember I was injured by police rubber bullets, one of the first in the country to have that dubious distinction. And I was as I was laying up recovering, I heard a KPFA live broadcast from a Berkeley City Council meeting, which ended abruptly when the City Council departed and the Berkeley tax squad moved in. And it was literally blow-by-blow coverage of what was going on in the demonstration, not only there, but on the streets, political and analysis of the war in Indochina. And I was just amazed. I had never heard, coming from West Virginia where the airways were dominated by corporate top 40 or country and western stations, I never heard anything like KPFA before. Over the years, during the Central American Wars, KPFA was where you got the turn to view of what was going on in Nicaragua and El Salvador. During the Gulf War, I remember one of the demonstrations in which, right before the war started, there were literally dozens of activists standing around listening with transistor radios glued to their ears, listening to KPFA coverage. And during this conflict, some estimates go up to 500,000 people a week listen to KPFA in the build-up to the war. That being said, there's been some weaknesses. As Steve pointed out, there was an attempt to try to muzzle a programmer from urging people to attend an anti-war demonstration. That didn't fly because even the corporate council of Pacifica ridiculed that idea, said KPFA is about talking about urging people to participate in progressive activities. I feel that there should be more, not only announcements of what's going on in the wars in Afghanistan and Iraq and the upcoming war in probably upcoming war in Iran, but there should be not more analysis and even debates among anti-war activists. We have this contradiction. We have more people than ever against the war, but the demonstrations are far smaller than they were in the build-up to the war. Why is that? What can we do about that? I believe KPFA can be an honest broker for that, for discussion and debate and dialogue about how to build those movements. Once again, my name is Stan Woods. I'm currently a member of the KPFA board and running for re-election on the People's Radio slate. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Stan Woods. And you are listening to the fourth in our series of candidates forums for the KPFA local station board listener representatives. And next, we have Warren Marr, who is our next person in the studio here. And I'm not sure what question we should ask, so maybe Felipe can help me with that.
Well, first of all, good morning.
Hold on a second.
Good morning, Mr. Marr.
Morning.
In terms of the way that the elections are carried out, what are your feelings about disparity in terms of money being spent on the campaigning?
You know, I think that in terms of this question, I feel like the disparity in campaigning funds is kind of a weird question because how is the money raised? The money is raised by the individuals who run the campaigns, right? So I don't think it's a matter of money. It's a matter of people mobilizing their mass base. And I feel like all the candidates running reflect different constituencies. So for myself, for example, I've been a community and labor organizer for most of my adult life, about 30 years. So what I'm trying to do is get working people and community activists to become engaged in KPFA, to not only listen to KPFA, but to join KPFA. And that means giving $25 or donating 3 hours of their time and therefore being allowed to vote. So it's interesting to me that some people who raise the question about disparity in fundraising are the same people who cannot get people to join KPFA or who don't want to encourage people to participate in KPFA. And I think right now, as far as I know, only 10% of our regular listeners are members of KPFA, which means that only 10% of our listeners can actually vote in this election. I feel that my slate, the concerned listeners, we want to broaden that. If you believe in democracy, if you want people to vote, I think that more people should become members of KPFA, whether it's through voluntary donation of their time or $25, which I think most working people can afford. So that's how we see the fundraising issue. The other thing is that I would like to go back to the first question if I have a little time, because I'm not as critical as the other candidates are about KPFA being a peace station. I think we are a peace station. We should be realistic. Look at who is turning out people. We do encourage people to go to demonstrations. We do do a lot of reportage about the war. On Democracy Now!, you hear things about the war that you would never hear on any of the commercial radio stations or on NPR. We do put the voices of Iraqis and other Middle Eastern people on our station, and I think those are some of the strengths that we should look at. And we also have to see ourselves as reflecting the mass movement and how we're going to build the mass movement and not be such a small, have such a small discussion where we're only talking to people in Berkeley or Oakland or San Francisco
who
are already converted.
Thank you very much. That's the 3-minute time limit there.
Okay, thank you.
And that's Warren Marr, who's our next candidate. And Janae, who else do we have in the studio here?
Okay, we also have Susan McDonough, and we also have Diane Enriquez, who's joined us this morning. Good morning to Diane. Everyone, please welcome Diane. Okay, and Susan, we will ask you the next question. I want to apologize because there was an error in asking the questions, and that was on my part. So, Susan, I'm going to ask you the same question as Warren. In terms of campaign financing disparity, what are your views on the financial disparities?
I guess I have to say, this is Susan McDonough. I'm running with the Concerned Listeners slate. You can check out our webpage at www.concernedlisteners.org. And I'm a little baffled by the question. Typically, boards of agencies and organizations, one of their primary charges is to fundraise for that agency or organization. When we started our race for this election, we did quite an effort to reach out and get new people to join the station to increase our numbers. And I thought that was one of our charges, actually. And subsequently, we had a series of house parties and asked supporters of KPFA to donate to this. So I'm a little baffled that it's even phrased as disparity of fundraising rather than saying, what lessons could you share on how we could all do more fundraising for KPFA, do more to bring in more membership to KPFA, to reach out to broader circles to support KPFA?
Thank you so much, Susan. Next, we'd like to hear from Diane Enriquez. In terms of campaign financing disparity, what are your views on the financial disparities?
Hello? Okay. Yeah, my name is Diane Enriquez. I'm also running with Concerned Listeners. And again, the website is www.concernedlisteners.org. I have to agree with Warren and Susan said, because really, as organizers and people involved in the movement, and we, you know, we're constantly like talking to people in the community, and I know myself, I work for Young Workers United, and I was there like trying to get some of the members from my organization and people that I know, like young people, people of color, and from all different communities, to become members so that they can vote in this election, they can participate in KPFA, and also so that they can help. We had fundraisers, we talked to people, we were communicating with everybody that would listen to us, and that's how we got to raise money. It's not an issue of, like, it's not disparity, it's not anything other than the fact that we were out there, we were talking to people, we were, you know, getting people involved and encouraging them to, like, you know, listen to KPFA, to get excited about this election, and that's why they contributed to us. It was grassroots organizing, and that's what we do. And it's not a negative thing. If anything, it's a mark on how, you know, how good we do our jobs, and it should be rewarded and congratulated, because as board members, again, that's what you're supposed to do, especially for the KPFA board. You're supposed to go out there and talk to the people, get them excited about KPFA, and have them be a part of the community. This is community radio. We should be reaching out to the community. We should bringing more people in, building the base of KPFA, having a real movement, you know, be facilitated through this great medium and fundraise for it. So
thank you very much, Diane Enriquez, for that. And so I think we've talked a little bit to all of the candidates who are currently present in this first hour of a two-hour KPFA local station board election forum with our candidates running for the listener seats on the KPFA local station board. Janae, what is next here?
Okay, next up, I gave the candidates a box with some numbers in them. The numbers correspond to the question. They actually picked two numbers, so it corresponds to two questions on the list. So we'll start with Warren Marr.
And also, let me ask, how much time do they have to respond?
Two minutes to each question. 2 minutes.
Okay. And you said Warren Marr is first, is
yes.
That correct? Okay, so.
Warren, what numbers do you have?
I have 5 and 7.
Okay, so we'll start with 5. 5, do you believe that evaluation of programming by definition is a personal issue? And if so, why?
I'm not sure what you mean by personal issue. Personal to who?
Personnel.
Oh, personnel.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, okay, personnel. You know, I think evaluation of programming should be left up to the executive director and the program director. I think the board should have a vision of programming, and we should lay out a broad vision of what programming entails, and we should hire an executive director and hire a program director to reflect that vision. But I think that programming should not be micromanaged, and I think this is part of the problem in this election, is that there's a lot of different political factions that want their politics on the air, and there's only so much airtime. And I think one of the views of Concerned Listeners is that we all are progressive or radical or political people, and we have a very progressive political vision of KPFA. However, we think that KPFA needs to reach out, need to broaden the base to help the movement, which people talked about, not only the peace movement, but also the social justice movement here at home. And we cannot argue about our friends that we want on the air. We have to also be open to the fact that we hire progressive, professional journalists, and they need to make not only good political decisions, but good journalistic decisions, and we have to trust them to do that, and that's our role as the board.
Thank you very much, Warren. Warren Marr, and that was your first question. And Janae, what is the second question?
I'm sorry. The second question is number 7. What do you believe are some specific and creative ways for the LSB to fulfill its duties and responsibilities as stated in the foundation's bylaws?
Well, I think one of the things that I would like to see the board play more of an active role in is to do better outreach. And I think we talk a lot about diversity in the station. We talk about outreaching to the community, but the board has not really spent any time in doing that. And I feel that, and I think this also relates to fundraising, because we want a mass fundraising base, and therefore our fundraising has to be outreach to the community as well. I would like to see the station become involved much more in music programs, in cultural programs, in programs where we are at events in the community, and not just have fundraising as a call-in, you know, shows where the primary responsibility falls on the staff, whether paid or unpaid. And I think by outreaching to the community, that KPFA will have much more of a presence. And I think that the board should play much more of a role in doing some of that outreach, and we should be in leadership of the volunteers and also some of the people who want to work for KPFA as unpaid staff. So that's the kind of thing I think that the board could be better at doing. And also I think the board needs to have, while we're all political people, while we have political disagreements, and it may be fine, even people on our own slate don't always agree on everything, but we have to have a situation in KPFA where we can disagree but still not attack each other and not be sectarian in our political fights, so that we can build the station among people who are not familiar with KPFA now and not be hung up on the sectarian infighting. So that's
thank you. Thank you, Warren Marr. And that was your second question. And Janae, I believe Steve Zeltzer is next, and he is in a different country joining us by telephone. So I think you asked me to pull his numbers for him at random from the box so that we can figure out the questions. And so let me try to unwrap this little ball here that tells me what the number is. It's very suspenseful doing that. It looks like it is number four.
Number four.
And is the first question. And let me unwrap the other ball. It's a wrestling match. And that is number 15, so 4 and 15.
Okay, we'll begin with number 4. Steve, are you there?
Sure I am.
Okay. Do you believe that the criteria for evaluating programming and the discussions meeting minutes regarding evaluating programs should be public?
Yes, I believe that the program council, which I think is critical to have a democratic process at KPFA, should be open to the public. And frankly, I think that there's a dangerous turn at KPFA that some people want to make it a professional NPR-type station. And I don't believe KPFA and Pacifica should be molded around NPR-type operations. We're a community radio station. We need community programming. Most of the programmers are volunteer. And frankly, I think the listeners should be play a major role in deciding what new programming comes on, and that's why I support a program council with listeners deciding what new programming is. And there's a lot of unhappiness among some people about the lack of changes at KPFA. You've had many programmers there who've given tremendous service to KPFA. There have been 20, 30 years. But there needs to be new programming at KPFA, and I don't agree that we need more music programming at KPFA. I think that there are many vital issues for example, seniors. There's no program for seniors. There's no program for veterans. These areas have to be covered. There's no program for computer technology on KPFA. So we have to hear from listeners. I'm in favor of a survey being sent to all the subscribers of KPFA, the members of KPFA, asking them what they want to see and responding to that. That should be part of the criteria for new programming at KPFA. But I definitely support the program council, and I'm against kind of a top-down centralized operation at KPFA, in which the manager and program director would make all the decisions as far as new programming.
Thanks, Steve Zeltzer. That was your first question. And Janae, what is Steve's second question?
Steve, What are your thoughts about the accountability of the station to the local station board regarding programming issues and budgeting? In what ways are local station board listeners, representatives, accountable to listeners?
Well, I think one of the problems has been, and this is the dispute that we're talking about that the other candidate mentioned. For example, the local station board previously voted that Democracy Now be played twice, and there be an open slot between 6 and 7. The local station board, the program council voted for that, and management ignored that and said that with support of some of the long-term programmers that they're going to continue as is. Now, if you can't make a change at KPFA without the managers and some of the long-time staff saying, no, we're not going to have any changes, then you have a serious problem. And a lot of people were very unhappy about the failure to carry out the decision of the local station board. And now, you can't micromanage, that's true. The local station board has its primary role, as a matter of fact, is having community meetings. And I would point out that the concerned listeners have been in charge of the local station board, and they're required to have a semi-annual community meeting for listeners in different parts of the Bay Area. And we haven't had one for over a year, so that's one of the things I would change. I think the concerned listeners, while they talk about democracy, they've been in charge of the local station board, they refuse to have any local community meetings. Now, this is like one of the criteria for a local station board, which I think needs to be carried out. And also, I'm running with a group called Voices for Justice, and you can find out Voices for Justice Radio. It's voicesforjusticeradio.googlepages.com if you want to find out more about my slate, C.C. Campbell, Carl Bryant, and Saraya Siadi.
Thanks very much, Steve Zeltzer, joining us all the way in a different country, in a different time zone, and we really appreciate Steve joining us today. And Janae, who's our next candidate that we have?
Next up, we'd like to hear from Stan Woods. Stan, will you let us know what numbers you have?
Hello, yes, I have number one and number three.
Okay, we'll start with number one. If you are elected to the LSB and find out that KPFA or Pacifica National was using discriminatory hiring that would prevent many people with disabilities from applying for a job, what would you do, if anything, about the situation?
Well, I would make a motion that the board direct our representatives to the Pacifica National Board to take action on that, to investigate it, and to try to come up with a firm response on that. There should be no discrimination in hiring, programming, or any aspects of KPFA and Pacifica Affairs.
Thank you, Steve. And what was your second number? I'm sorry.
It was number one, number three.
Number three. What have you done in your life to promote the civil rights of others?
Well, let's see now. I've from a working-class family in West Virginia. I come from a labor background. My first political activity was in high school, was going door to door helping to raise money for minors suffering from black lung disease and who were camped in the state capitol demanding comprehensive black lung legislation. I subsequently was involved in a struggle in the African American community of my hometown against a freeway that would devastate and did devastate a good section of the historic black section of Charleston, West Virginia. I've been an activist in labor and social justice all my adult life. I'm a member of the International Longshore and Warehouse Union, and I've been active in the struggle to obtain freedom from Mumia Abu-Jamal, probably the best-known political prisoner in the U.S. and one of the best-known political prisoners in the world, who I believe is in prison due to both institutionalized racism and political victimization. That's a few things off the top of my head.
Thank you so much, Stan. Next, we will be going to Susan. Susan McDonald, do you mind let me know what questions you have?
Yes.
What numbers you have?
Yes, Janae, I have 10 and 12.
Okay, we'll start with number 10. 10. If you have awareness of how the LSB currently operates, do you see any areas where improvements could be made?
Well, I'm not a current member of the LSB. I'm running with the Concerned Listener slate. I would like to pay much more attention to fundraising and expanding our listener base. This summer, for instance, I went to the Stern Grove series in San Francisco and was thrilled to see that KPFA was a sponsor and our banner hanging up on the stage. However, we didn't have a table and we had no way to reach our listeners who might have been in attendance or maybe weren't even aware of KPFA. So I'd like to see much more aggressive tabling and broader presence at all kinds of different functions around the Bay Area so that we can let more people know about what KPFA is and bring in more members.
Thank you, Susan. Question number 12. All of us have issues that motivated our desire to get more involved with KPFA. I'll say issues and challenges. What are yours, and how would you describe their effect on your decision to run for the board?
Well, I've been a listener to KPFA since the 70s, and I have been a donor for many years. I rely on KPFA to get the news, to get information, to hear music that I can't hear elsewhere. To hear talk shows and interviews with folks about books and movies that I can't get elsewhere. And I decided that it was time for me to give back to the station. I'm a labor organizer. I've been doing that on and off for about 20 years. I've done community organizing. I was involved in the Central America support movement in the 80s. And I think it's time for me to give back and bring some of my fundraising experience. I was a fundraiser in the 80s for Central America Health Rights Organization. Bring those skills to KPFA.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, thank you so much, Susan. And we have Diane. Diane, what are your numbers?
1 and 8.
1 and 8?
Uh-huh. 1 and 8.
Okay. Let's start with number 8. I believe I asked number 1 already. There are many people in the Signal area who are not aware of KPFA. What new ways can you think of for KPFA to reach out and find progressive listeners who don't know about the station?
Getting out there and talking to them. That's the best way to get people excited about anything, is to get out there, speak with them personally, talk about, you know, get to know them, get that trigger that gets them excited about anything, and be like, you know what, KPFA can latch onto that. KPFA's got something to make you excited about, you know, listening to us. And it's true. I mean, aside from the technology and actually, you know, expanding our signal and things like that, which we're already working on, it's really just a matter of being in the community and making sure that the community knows that you care about them and you're excited about them, and that's how they're going to get excited about you, and that's how they're going to participate. That's how we're going to get new members, and that's how people are going to start listening, because they know they're going to see you. You're going to be a constant presence in their community. You're going to be supporting events. You're going to be participating in events. You're going to be broadcasting events that are in the communities. Get out to, you know, Central Valley, where some people can hear us, and up, you know, north and all around. Like, it's more than just Berkeley and San Francisco. It's all, you know, Napa and Marin, and there's people everywhere that they don't even know who we are and what we're about, and won't listen to us, or, you know, for whatever reason, don't. And so we have to get out there personally and make that personal connection and get people excited about KPFA, because KPFA cares about the people, and that's the whole point. And so it's really just a matter of having some targeted outreach, a strategy, and getting out there and speaking to everybody and getting everybody involved. And that's how people listen.
Thank you very much, Diane Enriquez, for that answer.
Okay, Diane, thank you so much. And your next question, as a part of your activist activities, what have you specifically done to defend the civil rights of people with disabilities or the elderly?
People with disabilities or the elderly?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm an activist. I work for Young Workers United. I've been involved in all kinds of different movements. I've always been very open to
everybody in any kind of situation that I've heard of that has been disrespectful or discriminatory, especially towards people with disabilities or the elderly. I've always been really involved and active. I can't name anything specifically, but in terms of just like the apprenticeship that I was involved in and stuff, like here at KPFA, I was always really open to having a broad range of people involved in it, and just really open to accommodating anybody's particular needs. And so, I mean, yeah.
Thank you, Diane. Okay, next candidates, what we're going to do, I'm going to ask each of you the same question. Please take 2 minutes to answer the question. Maximum. And at the end of your statement, would you please provide the listeners with some contact information?
And Janae, before we continue, I just want to remind people that they are listening to the KPFA Local Station Board Candidates Forum, the fourth and final. This is a 2-hour program this morning lasting until noon here, and this is the last on-air KPFA Listener Forum, Candidates Forum. So that is, I did want to remind people of what they were listening to. So.
Thank you so much. The question is, if someone gave KPFA $1 million today, how would you want it to be spent? And we will start with Warren Marr.
$1 million. You know, I really, to be honest, this is something that we would have to look at what the needs are. And I don't honestly have all the information in front of me in terms of what the needs are, both in terms of structural needs such as, technical expansion and things like that. I do know this. I think the KPFA staff is actually pretty poorly paid. And I feel as a union person, I feel like one of the things that we should try to do is retain staff. Because people talk about people who, work at KPFA, and I think that we don't have a lot of staff, and we don't really support the staff as much as we should. So I would like to see more of that if we had that. But I guess there also should be some expansion and outreach, which are things that some of the other candidates have discussed. I should say also this, as a board member, I would like to see the election process run a little bit better. I would like to see a little bit more investment in really outside supervision on running these elections, because this is the first time I've run for elections, and it's no reflection on you, Janae. I think you're doing a great job, but I think the election has been a very strange process. And it also doesn't encourage working class people who have jobs to participate in this process. And I think that that's one thing I would like to see. I would like to see more, neutral outside oversight into things such as, our election process and other things.
Thanks, Warren Marr, there for your answer. And Janae?
Next, we will have Steve Zeltzer. Steve? If someone gave KPFA $1 million today, how would you want it to be spent?
Well, I think, first of all, there are many listeners of KPFA outside San Francisco and Berkeley, as other people have said, and what we need to do and what we should do if we had $1 million, but we could do it even with less, is to set up news bureaus in the North Bay, in the South Bay, in Fresno and Sacramento. And I believe that these news bureaus could be a means of getting out regular news from these communities and these areas that need more coverage on KPFA. And also, I would develop the web page so that there would be news feeds from these local areas so that people would be able to listen and hear the news and from the local areas. And it would tremendously expand interest and coverage of KPFA in the local community. So expansion of the news bureaus into other regions. We have to cover these other regions. Other thing, I would give part of that money to the establishment of a station in New Orleans. I think that we have to have a vision for Pacifica, that it's not just for New York, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Washington, and Houston, but the people of New Orleans and the people of the South, as a matter of fact, need the voices on Pacifica. And I would give a part of that money to the establishment of a New Orleans station. That's one of the things our slate Voices for Justice is supporting, and that is the establishment of a Pacifica Station affiliate in New Orleans so that working people, the poor people, the people of the South would be able to have some alternative voices where it's needed most. So that would be one of the things that I would be in favor of using that money for.
Thanks very much, Steve Zeltzer, for your answer. And Janae?
Yes, next we'd like to hear from Stan Woods. Stan, if someone gave KPFA $1 million today, how would you want it to be spent?
Well, $1 million is approximately a quarter of KPFA's annual budget. I have to echo some of what Steve said in terms of having news bureaus throughout the Bay Area. You know, our physical facilities may be in Berkeley, and our transmitter may be in Berkeley Hills, but we have 59,000 watts. We're one of the strongest FM stations in the country. We're not a Berkeley state, quote-unquote Berkeley station. And sometimes it's... Some people have seemed to think otherwise. For example, People's Radio and our allies on the board have been the ones that have brought about having board meetings outside of Berkeley. The fact the meetings have occurred in Santa Rosa and San Jose, for example, has been due to our persistence on that because we feel we are a Bay Area station. As for other things that $1 million could be used for, I'm certainly for respect and a decent living for all workers, including the CWA workers at KPFA. I'm also for respect for the unpaid staff members of KPFA, UPSO, and we spearheaded a resolution to pass by a large margin in the station board demanding the management recognize and negotiate with the unpaid staff organization. So we're for all workers at KPFA, paid and unpaid. As for other things, $1 million could be used for, the list is long, but like I say, it's a quarter of the budget. One thing that we're running on, one of our platform planks, is accountability, transparency, and democracy in all station affairs. And financial accountability has been somewhat of a problem at Pacifica. It took, a two-year struggle before directors were able, which they have an absolute right under nonprofit corporation law, to inspect any and all parts of the foundation, any reasonable time, that is, to inspect the financial records of the network. We have a total network budget of around $15 million a year that needs to have intense scrutiny.
Okay, thanks.
I give my
that's
website?
Well, we're going to come back to contact information in just a minute for people as they wrap up here, but we've got to move on to our next person, and you were just listening to Stan Woods.
Okay, our next person is Susan McDonald. If someone gave KPFA $1 million today, how would you want it to be spent?
Thanks, Janae. Well, I'm sitting here in the station room, and there's a little handout, all right, pinned to the wall. It says, what does it cost to keep KPFA on the air? And just for the transmitter equipment, the electricity, the phones, shipping, postage, maintenance, it comes to about... just shy of $500,000 a year. So in this day and age, sadly, $1 million wouldn't go that far. Yesterday, Larry Bensky broadcast live from Seattle on the FCC hearings, which were a step backward for broadcast regulations in this country and ownership of media outlets. And those are the kinds of things, I think, that bring information that, as far as I know, no other station is bringing to our membership. So that's just one example. Another is, I think it's called a booster, where we could up our capability, say, in the Auburn area and east of the Bay Area to reach more homes out in the valleys. There are pieces of equipment that we can buy for not that much money, or we could do fundraising for, but we could use this $1 million to extraordinarily increase our listenership capabilities.
Thank you, Susan McDonough. And next?
Next, we have Diane Enriquez. Diane, if someone gave KPFA $1 million today, how would you want it to be spent?
Well, I mean, all the other great candidates have already had some really good ideas. And again, I have to echo some of them. I think that, some of it should go to outreach efforts and broadening our base and making sure that people know about us. Some of it should go to making our signal stronger and keeping this station up and running and being as smooth as possible and just making it, as good as it possibly can be. As a former unpaid staff, I think that 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 should kind of be something that, like, I have to say, it should definitely go to our staff. Our unpaid staff work really, really hard. I'm a former apprentice. I know how difficult it is to be, like, trying to live my life and pay my rent and also dedicate, like, 20-plus hours a week to this station. I loved it. I thought it was awesome while I was here, but it gets a little strenuous. So maybe like stipends, travel stipends, there's people coming from Marin, there's people coming from San Francisco just to come here and work and produce really great things. So I think that that should be something to consider as well. Our unpaid staff are a true treasure to this station, and they should be rewarded fiscally as well as just because they're awesome and they produce great stuff. And yeah, just kind of making the station be as good as it possibly can be. Wherever there needs to be money, then that should go to this. Again, I agree that $1 million isn't going to go very far, especially when you're trying to be technologically technologically advanced as possible. And, you know, I'm talking into a microphone with a hole in it. So things like that where it could go to make the station better. Yeah.
Thanks very much, Diane Enriquez, for your answer there.
Thanks. So next, quickly, we'll go down the line. I understand that Steve's in another country, and it's probably about 4 in the morning where he is. So we'll start with Steve. Just give us your contact information. If the public would like to contact you for more questions or more ideas, would you please let us know?
Yeah. Again, my name is Steve Zeltzer, and I'm running for the board. Our group is called KPFA Voices for Justice. And you can contact us by going to http://kpfavoicesforjustice.googlepages.com. And you can get our email addresses, all of our email addresses, and there are 4 of us who are running, myself, C.C. Campbell-Rock, Carl Bryant, and Saraya Ciotti. We're all running together. And you can get information from our website as well as our statements and answers to the questionnaires that were asked of the candidates.
Thank you so much, Steve. And Warren Marr?
Yes, I'm running with Concerned Listeners, and you can go to our website at www.concernedlisteners.org to see all of our bios as well as our extensive endorsers from unions, community-based organizations, and other progressives around the Bay Area and beyond, and also to see our questionnaire. Each of the candidates have answered extensive questionnaires on our positions and our background, and we hope people will check that out.
Thank you so much. And Susan?
Yes, I'm Susan McDonough. I'm with the Concerned Listeners Slate. And again, you can check it at www.concernedlisteners.org. We're proud to have an extraordinary list of organized union members, union leaders, community leaders. So please check out our website.
Thank you so much. And Stan Woods?
I'm Stan Woods. I'm with People's Radio. Please check us out at www.peoplesradio.net. We urge you to vote for us, and we also check out our endorsers, a very informed, knowledgeable list of trade unionists, Latino immigrant rights activists, and other activists. Once again, www.peoplesradio.net.
Thank you. And Diane Enriquez?
I'm with Concerned Listeners as well. My name is Diane Enriquez, and you can reach us at www.concernedlisteners.org. And if I think there's places where you can post comments and stuff like that. And if you want to contact me personally, you can go through that website and leave your email and I'll, or phone number, and I'll call you back.
Thank you. So that just about wraps, well, that wraps up our second on-air forum. And this is our last forum. We have another group coming in from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. Also, I want to remind listeners that November the 15th is the date that we need to have the ballots back. You can't mail your ballots out no later than November 15th. They need to be received by November 15th. And if you have not received a ballot and feel that you should have received one, please feel free to email me at votekpfa@gmail.com. I am Janae Jenkins, your local election supervisor. Also, I want to let you all know that I will be here Monday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Handing out ballots, but please email me so that I know and make sure that you are indeed eligible to receive a ballot.
Now, we're also joined, Felipe, I'm sorry, I don't know your last name because we just met this morning, but if you could get on microphone for a second and tell people what your role is and how people can get a hold of you if Janae is not available.
I can be contacted at, my email address is MESINAMORRISEY@gmail.com. And I got involved through the outreach that is available at this station. I attended the meetings, and being an open door and a grassroots station, I volunteered. And so I was able to participate, and that is one thing that we do encourage everybody to get involved and participate in these elections.
Thank you very much, Felipe. And we're just about ready for our next hour and our next round of candidates. And we'll follow the same format that we did for this hour. So I'll just say a few closing remarks as the moderator of this program so that we won't be starting that next hour early. And we'll also start with music as we did the last hour so that we won't be changing the actual time of the candidates' statements to you. So that will be coming up in just a couple of minutes. But again, this is the last of the on-air candidates forums for the KPFA local station board elections. Now, you can find information, I believe, at kpfa.org also about the elections process, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Felipe?
Yes.
And so that is one place to check. If you're wondering about what this is all about, that means that you probably have not been registered, and you cannot register to vote for this election, but you are eligible to vote in future elections if you are a subscriber to KPFA at the minimum rate of $25 a year. You can be eligible to vote in upcoming KPFA local station board elections, but not this one. So we really appreciate that. And we also appreciate the fact that you are joining us this morning here on this Candidates Forum. Our regular programming will be back next week between 10 and 12, but this is a two-hour format today for this last KPFA Local Station Board Candidates Forum. And we hope you'll stay tuned for the next hour here on KPFA. I'm Jim Bennett, a former manager here at KPFA and a longtime programmer and engineer. And it's been my pleasure to be involved in this election process since the beginning when I was manager of KPFA. It's a great experiment and an evolving one in democracy here at KPFA on the local level. And we hope that you will participate if you can in this upcoming local station board candidate election. And please do take the time to find out about the candidates. Do listen to the forums online if you don't catch them live, and make sure that you are informed on their different positions, and seek that out and try to participate if you can. So our next hour is coming up. We do ask you to stay tuned. This is KPFA or KPFB Berkeley or KFCF in Fresno, and also online at kpfa.org. And again, thanks to everyone who helped in our KPFA fund drive in terms of participating as a phone volunteer or a programmer or, in fact, as a listener sponsor of this radio station to make that successful. We'll continue with our second hour in just a moment. This is KPFA, KPFB Berkeley, KFCF Fresno, kpfa.org, and I'm Jim Bennett, and as I mentioned in the first hour, we are in the process of bringing you the fourth on-air and final on-air forum for the KPFA Local Station Board candidates, and this forum for you, our listeners, this candidates forum is the last one that we'll be bringing you on the air before the KPFA Local Station Board election. And again, we are listening today. We will be listening to another round of some of the representatives who are running for the listener seats on the KPFA local station board. So we have at least three candidates in the next room here who will be answering the questions that we present to them in this next round. Our forum lasts until 12 o'clock here at KPFA. And also, as I did mention in the first hour, My role here at KPFA is that I'm a longtime programmer and engineer here at the station and the former manager of the station. And I was here at the time as manager of KPFA when this election process began for the KPFA local station board. And I've been proud to be associated with it. And it is an evolving process that continues. And we hope that many people will participate in this upcoming KPFA local station board election. So joining me here is the KPFA local elections supervisor, Janae Jenkins, and her assistant, Felipe Messina. And thank you for joining us today here and sort of directing traffic in terms of the format of the program. If we can explain that to our listeners, what we're going to hear in this hour, how it's going to unfold the hour itself. Janae.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for attending and listening to our second on-air forum for today, Saturday, November the 10th. My name is Janae Jenkins. I'm your local election supervisor for KPFA Radio. And today, the candidates that we have joining us, we have Ms. Chandra Hopton, we have Steve Conley, and we have Bob English. And the forum goes as follows. Opportunity to give each candidate an opening statement for 3 minutes or less. I will ask the candidates the same question, and that will open up our segment. We will have each candidate pick two numbers, maybe even three if we have time, because we have three candidates out the box. The numbers in the box correspond to a question that I have on the list, and we will start that. That's the second round. And if we have more time, we can ask more questions and ask the candidates to provide us with contact information.
Okay, so let's get started then with the first round.
Okay, for the first round, we will start with Steve Conley. How are you this morning, Steve?
I'm doing great. How are you this morning?
I'm feeling great.
Wonderful.
This morning. Could feel better. Okay, so we'll start with your question. What does KPFA's slogan, Radio for Peace, mean to you?
Well, Radio for Peace means to me a network, which we are, that facilitates and believes in the principles of peace, particularly as the founders had particularly indicated as it relates to nonviolence and social activism and universal peace, not simply the philosophy of just based on peace and war. So I look at it as the pejorative that seeks to deal with peaceful resolutions to issues, nonviolent approaches to concerns, and certainly peace rather than war as a solution to our human issues and problems.
Thank you, Steve. Next, we will be hearing from Chandra. How are you this morning, Chandra?
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Okay. Hi, everybody. I'm fine.
Okay, Chandra, thank you. Your question is, same question as Steve's, what does KPFA's slogan, Radio for Peace, mean to you?
Well, Radio for Peace is actually right out of the Pacifica mission statement, where we talk about radio broadcasting operations engaging activities to promote a lasting understanding between nations, individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and regarding disseminating information that causes conflict and how to resolve conflict. So this is basically right out of the Pacifica mission, and I fully endorse the mission. And I'm running with a group of candidates called the I-Team, and we support collaboration, not conflict. We would try to be a neutralizing force on the local station board.
Thank you so much, Chandra. Next, we'd like to hear from Bob English. Bob.
Good morning.
Good morning. What does KPFA's slogan, Radio for Peace, mean to you?
Well, as Chandra said, that's right out of the Pacific. That is the Pacifica mission, to promote peace and social justice. The slogan has also been Free Speech Radio. And if you're going to have a slogan of Radio for Peace, you'd think that the station management would at least allow the organizers of the peace march last week to record a cart informing and asking listeners to come to the march. But as was discussed in the first hour, there's been a problem. I'd like to take some part of the time to explain what KPFA has meant in my life. I haven't been on air before, so I'd like to introduce myself a little bit to the listeners who haven't voted yet, especially. I come from a working-class family in San Francisco. My mother worked as a nurse. She taught nursing, and she was an SEIU shop steward. I've been a public servant in San Francisco for over 30 years. I have administrative, budget, human resource experience to bring to the board. I've been a union activist with SEIU Public Employees Local as a chapter representative and a negotiator and a labor democracy activist. And throughout my work and activism in the community, KPFA has been the background of my life. For instance, I was part active in the student and faculty strike at San Francisco State College for Third and Black World Studies. I was in the draft resistance. I refused induction during the Indochina War. I've worked with Eva Royale on the UFW Support Committee in San Francisco, also the Cesar Chavez Street Committee. And I've been a long-term yoga student and practitioner. But KPFA has been, for the last decade, the main focus of my activism. It's very close to my heart. In fact, when we were locked out of the station and the staff and the listeners, I met my wife at a meeting of the Coalition for a Democratic Pacifica, where I was one of the first members with Chandra also. One of the things we worked against was censorship in the Pacifica Network, and we conducted a weekly information picket at the law offices of the firm representing the old hijacker regime. Since then, I've worked with People's Radio. I've served on the KPFA Outreach Committee. I've attended LSB meetings for the last 3 years. And we've had a long, hard struggle to bring democracy home to Pacifica. It's partly established, but with a long way to go. Now, candidates for the LSB, as well as the network and station management and staff, have to be grounded in the Pacifica history and movements in order to understand why we have new bylaws and elected boards representing listeners as well as the staff. These boards have specified shared powers and responsibilities to work in cooperation with management and staff and to ensure transparent, accountable management and operations, to make policy and regulate the structure and process for making program decisions and selections to meet the Pacifica mission and the diverse programming needed by multiple KPFA-served communities, including working class, poor, and people of color.
Okay, Bob, that's 3 minutes there. So thanks very much.
Thank you.
That was Bob English, who is one of the candidates running for one of the listener seats on the KPFA local station board.
Okay, thanks so much for everyone participating in this morning. I'm sorry. I also want to remind you all listeners out there that ballots are due back by November the 15th. I will be here on Monday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. Passing out ballots to those of you who believed you should have received a ballot. If you have questions if you should be voting or not or receiving a ballot, please email me at votekpfa@gmail.com. That is votekpfa@gmail.com. And I am Janae Jenkins. Next, we have these questions in the box. Can the candidates see me? Can you all see me?
How can I assist?
Okay. We will be joining you in the studio, candidates, to grab two numbers out of the box, and they correspond to a question.
Yeah, so the candidates are going to take two little balls of paper out of this box, and then Janae will be asking a series of questions related to those numbers, so they're basically pulling questions at random to answer here in this next period.
Right, and we will be pulling questions as we speak, so just so you listeners get an idea that everything is live, everything is fair, and it's done right here and right now. So the first question, well, the first person will ask, does everyone have their numbers?
Uh-huh.
Okay. The first person we'll start with is Steve Conley.
Question about opening statements. We didn't really get to do that. I thought we were just answering that first question. Can I do that now?
Well, those were your opening statements, and each of you had 3 minutes to respond to that. So that's the process that was chosen.
We thought we were just answering the question rather than
prompted to do an opening statement. Perhaps I'll get a chance to do that. Maybe a little bit more clarity might work. I have number 9 and number 14.
Okay. Number 9. What are your thoughts about and experiences with taking foundation grants, and how do you see that funding source as a possibility for KPFA?
Well, in the 20 years or so that I've worked within the Pacifica Network, including as a staff member and on serving on many different maturations of this discussion, and it certainly has gone on for that entire period of time, there's always been the struggle about the influence of such influence that these kinds of donations could mean. I think what has changed, and certainly what has begun to change my view on those, is how those kinds of donations can be structured in such a way to support very specific types of needs, such as increasing and improving our internet infrastructure, which could really use a huge investment so that we can begin to really develop social networks that matter. I don't have the same philosophy and fears that we've had previously, because I do believe we can develop infrastructures that protect and prevent the kinds of influences that in previous years we have been concerned about. But I do believe it is a very delicate issue and certainly a controversial issue, but I believe what we really need to do is have a much broader discussion and to look at some ways in which those issues can be addressed as a way of expanding KPFA and Pacifica in general. So I think I'm open to a broader discussion on the topic.
Thank you, Steve Conley. And again, if you're just tuning in, this is the second hour that we're doing today, a KPFA Local Station Board Candidates Forum with people running for the listener seats on the KPFA Local Station Board, and the election is upcoming. So that was from Steve Conley, and now Janine Jenkins, who's the local election supervisor, will continue this second round.
Okay, I believe Steve has a second number, so I want to give him a chance to answer his question.
Right.
And you are number 15. Is that your second number?
15. Number 14.
14. Okay, I'm sorry. What skills and experience do you have working with a large and diverse group of colleagues and dealing with conflict in a factionalized environment?
I actually have a tremendous amount of experience in that area of working with the large groups, including currently and certainly throughout my professional career. I have first I sit on a number of community boards that works with very large groups, both in communities such as the Tenderloin area and throughout the San Francisco area, and organizing on very specific issues such as homeless concerns, housing concerns, disabled, veteran concerns. I meet on a regular basis with the different groups. I sit on CPD boards that looks at the community issues such as street cleaning and police support and bringing various community groups together to function over the wherewithal of their particular communities, and I work in conjunction with a number of groups on a regular basis. And my previous experience, of course, working in media and Pacifica has engaged in working with outreach. I was the outreach chair in my previous service on the board, in which had the largest number of participants, both from staff and from community listener representatives. As a chairman of that particular committee, also the programming committee, which was very engaged in looking at these issues and supporting and developing strategies in conjunction with the program council, which are very large conversations and experiences that I have. So quite a vast number of it. I wish I had more time to go into all of it, but I think that's a snippet of some of that experience.
Thank you very much, Steve Conley. And that was his second question. And now, Janae, our second round continues.
Hi. Next, we'll be hearing from Chandra Hobden.
Thank you, Janae. But before I give you my two questions answers, which are for questions 4 and 11, I'd like to echo Steve's concern that it wasn't made clear to us that we could make opening statements up to 3 minutes. So my intro was very brief because I just answered your question. So I'd like time to address that later. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'd like to apologize for you for the confusion, guys. I thought I explained in the beginning that we had 3 minutes to answer. It would serve as our opening statement. So I'd like to apologize again.
Yeah, actually, if I remember correctly, we did point that out at the top of the two-hour time frame. However, the new people who you are listening to now arrived at the second hour, so that was probably where the confusion came in. So we do apologize for that.
Okay. So we want to go ahead and get your questions from you, Chandra.
Okay. They're numbers 4 and 11.
Okay. Number 4. Do you believe that the criteria for evaluating programming...
That's number 14. Mine are 4. Number 4 and 11.
Right. My numbers are numbered differently.
Okay, fine.
I mixed them up.
Oh. Okay, fine.
Do you believe that the criteria for evaluating programming and the discussion meeting minutes regarding evaluating programming should be public?
Okay. Well, I appreciate that question, but again, it's a mix up in communication. Because I had a sheet of a listing of questions, so I was preparing my statements in response to the questions that I had numerically. But in terms of the criteria for evaluating program, let's see, I have to think about this a minute because I wasn't prepared. I do think that they should be made public, not the specific votes. I don't think that people's votes on programming evaluations necessarily the names of the people that voted, but I think that the number of people that voted pro and con particular programs should be made public. I think there should be open program council meetings, and I think that the evaluation criteria, which is developed by the board and conjunction with management and program council, definitely should be public. And the meeting minutes as well, as I say, except for extracting the names of the people that do the voting.
Okay.
Okay, thanks very much, Chandra, for your answer to that first question.
Okay, and then she has number 11, correct?
Yes.
Okay. What might be some ways for the board to actively get feedback from listeners? How can information gathering, implementation, and organization be carried out?
Okay, well, I can definitely speak to that one, even though it wasn't on my list as number 4. What I can speak to is that when I was a member of the local advisory board, I organized the Community Needs Assessment Advisory Committee, and we went around the Signal area, and we mailed out an evaluation form, a survey form, to all the listeners, and we got feedback. We held public meetings, town halls, to get feedback about evaluating programming. We weren't a local station board at the time, so we didn't have a governance role, which dissects the evaluation process from the local station board and gives that authority over to the community advisory board, which the local station board is then supposed to select, and the community advisory board is supposed to perform the function that we did as the local advisory board. But that was the first and only community needs assessment that was ever done. I have actually copies of that report. If anybody wants copies, they can email me at lsbch@lmi.net, and I will send them a hard copy in PDF format of that report. It was a very comprehensive report. The listeners around the Signal area, the 12 areas that we visited, were very, very receptive to us coming in and asking them about what did they want from KPFA. So that was a really rewarding experience. And I would like to see that replicated. And that's the kind of thing that I think KPFA should be doing.
Thank you very much. And Chandra, your last name is correct?
Houtman.
Houtman, yes, that's what I thought. So I just wanted to make sure that people knew that.
Thank you.
All right. And let's continue here at KPFA. And we are presenting our KPFA Local Station Board Candidates Forum. Janae?
Hi, we'd like to hear next from Bob English.
Okay, I have questions 12 and 15.
Okay, question number 12. All of us have issues/challenges that motivated our desire to get more involved with KPFA. What are yours, and how would you describe their effect on your decision to run for the board? So how would you act on and work on those issues as a board member?
Well, as I explained in my introduction, my motivation and grounding is in the Free Pacifica movement and the movement to bring democracy and elected boards to Pacifica. And I started that work with the Coalition for Democratic Pacifica in 1999 when we were facing a situation where a group of corporatists and traditional political Democrats were had taken over the network. So I started coming to the station to try to, you know, I responded to the call of people there that we were being cut out of, we didn't have any voice in the governance of Pacifica. We weren't even members. We had no power to do anything about the damage that was being done, the power that was being taken, and the damage to our programming that was being done by this hijacking group. So I kept coming back, and I've been devoting part of my life to that ever since 1999, and I'm very much interested then, since I helped bring elected boards. I think it's time that I offered myself to serve on the boards. You know, we always need new voices and community labor activists coming to the station, and I'm concerned that fewer board reps and candidates were actively involved with or understand the nature and imperatives of these earlier movements to bring democracy. Now, some candidates who claim to be so concerned that KPFA about KPFA admit they haven't even attended meetings of the board they want to serve on. They aren't knowledgeable of current and historical and recent issues facing the LSB, notably the interim management intervention and power play to undermine, disable, or reduce to advisory status every democratic representative decision-making institution we've fought and worked for so
thank
hard
you. Thank you,
to
Bob.
Build.
That's 2 minutes.
So that's my that's part of my motivation.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. That's 2 minutes. So, Janae?
Okay. I believe you wanted to share something with the candidates, Jim?
Yeah. Was that Bob's first answer?
I am so sorry.
No.
Yes.
Oh, here's another question.
Okay. Your second number, Bob?
Oh, that's 15, although I don't have a question number 15 in front of me.
Okay. What are your thoughts about the accountability of the station to the local station board regarding programming issues and budgeting? In what ways are LSB listener representatives accountable to listeners?
What was the first part of the question? Accountable?
What are your thoughts about the accountability of the station to the local station board regarding programming issues and budgeting?
Okay. As I said before, the bylaws lay out certain shared and separate responsibilities and power for management, staff, and the listener board. Management is accountable in terms of, first of all, the board is supposed to participate in the selection of management, can participate in the termination of the general manager, for instance, but also has a function of evaluating annually managers. So in that way, they are accountable. But there should be an ongoing collaborative process. The station board is responsible for not for deciding day-to-day what programs go on the air, but really assessing and making sure that the quality of programming meets the needs of the communities that KPFA serves. And they also have the function of making sure that the bodies that do directly the structures and process for making program decisions are on a level playing field and are working properly. The board selects some of their own members to be on the program council and also appoints listener representatives. So it's the program council where important programming should be reviewed and new programs should be decided on. That's why it's so disturbing that current interim station management seems to think, just like in the old hijacker days, that only they should be able to make programming decisions. And it's very disturbing to hear people that are offering themselves for the board pretty much sounding like what we heard from the old hijackers in terms of top-down decision-making and management not being responsible to the listeners. See, that's the thing. It's a collaborative process. We have to work together on setting the policy and the framework in order to restore community radio programming, which I have to say was seriously damaged during the hijacker years and hasn't really changed very much since then, because the listeners have not been able to establish
Thanks,
their
Bob.
Representation.
Thanks, Bob. That's 2 minutes there. That is Bob English responding to the second question. And, Janae, I was trying to think about how we could rectify the confusion at the beginning with the opening statements, and what I think if the candidates think this is all right is because a couple of them only answered very briefly in that first question, about a minute and a half worth, that we do closing statements, not just from the two of them, but also from Bob, so that they'll each, in essence, have a minute and a half to make a closing statement, and that way they'll have the full amount of time that they were supposed to have, and also Bob won't be left out in that process. So is that okay with you guys?
How about 2 minutes?
Okay, I was trying to do the math here, but
I mean, since we're giving Bob another chance and he had a little bit extra time, that's fine. But
yeah, you know. Well, I'm flexible. Let's let's move on here, and we'll do the 2 minutes then, because we do have a little bit of time here, and just, you know, in the efforts of fairness, to give you the opportunity to say what you wanted to say at the beginning, and then we'll be good. So let us, as we continue, we'll remind people that they're listening to KPFA and KPFB Berkeley and KFCF Fresno and KPFA.org. We are, in fact, in the process of listening, and thank you for doing so, to the fourth of the on-air candidates forums for the KPFA local station board elections, which is upcoming. I'm Jim Bennett, and also we have Janae Jenkins here, who is the local election supervisor, and her assistant, Felipe Messina. So that is in addition to three candidates. And Janae, and you folks who are candidates, remind me, was the order, Steve, were you the first person? So in essence, what we're going to do in this next round, and actually hold off in giving contact information in your closing statement here, because we'll come back and ask you for how people can get a hold of you in a separate time as we conclude here. So you don't have to do that in your closing remarks. We'll come back one more time for that. So Steve Conley, will let you do a continuance or a concluding statement here in this next round, and you'll have 2 minutes here at KPFA.
Great. Thank you, Jim. As a Vietnam veteran, I just wanted to remind people this weekend to remember the vet and be active in supporting organizations fighting for the veterans' causes. To give you a little information about that, one in four of the homeless are veterans, struggling with a variety of major health and housing and mental health issues that does need your serious attention and support. There are other community issues not significantly being discussed on our airwave. I wanted to briefly mention one of the few statistics I wanted to let you know about. For example, one out of every four homeless are black. One out of every four homeless are suffering from a major health concern. One out of every four homeless suffer from a drug-related addiction, often prescription. Yet maybe one out of 500 is involved in aggressive panhandling, yet that's what we tend to focus on in our airwaves. Our vulnerable and targeted immigrant communities, especially our Latino and Mideastern communities, are being targeted, rounded up, and disappeared. The average workers are losing even more affordable housing, pre-existing and new, as well as swiftly diminishing affordable rental stocks at a greater rate, forcing blacks and Latinos in particular out of the Bay Area at alarming rates. Blacks and people of color have for years been the ones most targeted for risky, veritable housing loans and most likely to lose their homes. Bayview, Richmond, Oakland, gentrification is in progress. Environmental cleanup concerns in the Bayview, and yet little coverage or stories on our airwaves. Failing schools and No Child Left Behind is once again leaving our children on the back of the bus. The Asian poor immigrant communities are being squeezed into concentrated housing where whole families are living in one- and two-room apartments, run mafia-style with undocumented workers working 10 to 12-plus hours per shift with little benefit, and the elderly being warehoused like cattle. Public hospitals, emergency rooms are being overrun by the social quilt of the poor, elderly, and disenfranchised.
Steve,
These are a number of issues that
Steve,
I think
that's
we need
to
bring
there.
To our air.
Thanks very much for that concluding statement. And that was Steve Conley, who's running for the KPFA Local Station Board. And next, we have Chandra Hauptmann with her closing statement.
Well, thanks very much for that, Jim and Janae. And what I'd like to talk about is being an activist member on the local station board and the national board. And a lot of people think that not much was accomplished during this past three-year term. But I have to tell you that I have done things that have moved forward, and I feel really proud of them. For example, the calls to action, that memo that was initiated and issued by the IGM and the IPD at KPFA and created a lot of flack. Instead of just criticizing that, I went to the PNB meeting right after that matter occurred, and I called it to the attention of the national board as well as the local board. I spoke to the IPD and the IGM about it. They were at the meeting. I spoke to the general counsel about it from Pacifica. I got his ruling that it was a bit excessive on their part, and he would work with them and rewrite it, and he spoke to them, and they agreed, and that matter was addressed. It was toned down, so I feel that I contributed to that that process. I've been doing fundraising for in memory of a friend of mine, Jane Jackson, who passed away. And I've gotten the local station board and the national board and listeners in KPFA signal area to give over $1,700 so far, that so we can create a memorial to Jane Jackson in some area that relates to disability access at the station. I recently put forward a resolution on Iran, and the Pacifica program director took this resolution, wrote it up, put music on back of it, and we're trying to get all the stations to and the national board gave consensus for this, all the stations to run this as an editorial. It's on the Pacifica.org website, and it says we should not go to war against Iran.
Thank you.
Also, the Jenna resolution.
Thank you there.
Okay.
We are out of time there.
Thank you.
Minutes. Chandra Hauptmann, and that was her statement. And now we'll give Bob English also 2 minutes.
Okay, as I started to say before, it's kind of sad and tragic that the Free Pacifica movement, which was led in some ways by KPFA, that KPFA still is served by and known throughout the grassroots community radio world as Pat Scott Radio. That is, KPFA is still directed, managed, and programmed on the NPR healthy station model that we were force-fed by Pat Scott and the hijackers and later managers and the old interim board, the old national board. I just want to briefly say what some of the characteristics of that are: the de-radicalization and the mainstreaming of programming and staff. The idea of professionalism, where paid staff keep increasing and replacing unpaid volunteers, which are really the heart and soul of the station of Pacifica. There's the strip programming grid replacing eclectic programming. We have a domination of music programming. We have the elimination of the folio, because when you have a grid that prints on one page, you don't need a folio that interacts with the listener. There's the commodification and commercialization of the fund drives, the replacement of the Pacifica mission with a kind of a bureaucratization in terms of some of the policies that result in no carts on the air for certain organizations, top-down management, and a reinstitution of the gag rule. So, I want to see that people who are grounded and understand why we have elected boards are running for the board. And that's why I'm proud to run with the People's Radio candidates, who've served as longtime Pacifica listeners, including four on the local and national boards and committees: Richard Phelps, Gerald Sanders, Attila Nagy, Stan Woods, Mara Rivera, and Dave Heller. We've helped establish, develop, and always defend listener democracy, collaborative governing process, accountable and transparent management, all towards restoring truly progressive, truly community radio program.
Thanks.
With the folio.
Thanks, Bob.
Of course.
Thanks, Bob English, there for that. And just like James Brown, when he goes off stage with the cape and then comes right back out, I suddenly realized when I said to make closing statements there that there's actually one more round of questions that we have. So we'll bring you back one more time on stage, if you will, to answer one more question from Janae. And each of you will have how long is it, Janae, to answer this question?
It's 2 minutes or less.
Okay, 2 minutes or less for this final question.
And actually, this final question was also asked to the last forum. The question is, if someone gave KPFA $1 million today, how would you want it to be spent? So we'll start off with Steve Conley.
Okay, great. Real quickly, I just want to say I'm part of the I-Team, which is Tracy, Steve, myself, Chandra, and Joe Wanzala. And we can be reached at radiopoetics.org. I've been thinking about that because I heard this question last week. And, of course, I have to first indicate what our rules and regulations about that would be, which would make it very difficult for me, even with $1 million, to determine how that money is targeted. And probably shouldn't be in many ways if that kind of donation were made to me to determine. But if by some chance I did have that ability, I would invest that money. My first idea was to invest it all in the election process so that we can make sure that that's always fair and equal. But really what I'd like to do is see development in the technology issues in terms of expanding our internet airwaves to and increasing that to the point where we can have some 24/7 social networking possibilities and programming so that we can better represent some of the growing communities in a direction that we're going to need to move into if we're going to be able to be part of that future, both for Pacifica in general, and be able to talk to the communities and bringing on new communities and developing new programming. We simply can't continue in the linear approach that we're doing now and still be effective in reaching the kinds of communities that we need to be talking to and bringing onto our airwaves. So I would invest that or use that to raise significant other sums to invest in that particular direction, create some kind of funding strategies would allow that to go far into the future rather than perhaps spending it all as a one-block grant. But we need to get to work in that direction. That's a very serious correction. If you have $1 million or two or 500,000 or anything to help do that, please give us a call. Let's start moving in that direction now.
Thanks very much, Steve Conley, for your answer to that question. Janae?
Next, we'll have Chandra Hoffman.
Okay. Thanks for that question, Janae.
Would you like for me to repeat it?
I got it. I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm really ready to go.
Okay. Cool.
Thank you. Okay. Well, I'm actually politically very progressive but fiscally very conservative. So what I would suggest is that part of that money be put in a reserve fund because we never know when there's going to be a rainy day. We never know when this administration, who has done a lot to stifle free speech, and by the way, free speech radio is no longer on KPFA's website, is no longer on the new logo on the KPFA bumper sticker. What I would like to see is I would like to see that this money is some of it is put away for a rainy day in case something happens and the station is shut down by the powers that be in this country. And for the rest of the money, I would like to see a collaborative effort between the staff, management, and the local station board working together to identify the best needs for this use of funds. I say collaborative because I think these groups need to dialogue more, and they don't enough. And this would be a very positive thing to talk about, how to spend money, how exciting. But one of my priorities would certainly be to ensure disability access at the station and to implement the corrective action plan, which has been written by the KPFA Access Committee, which I have been a member of, to ensure that equal access for all people with disabilities is at KPFA, including with opening the doors. So I don't know if that's my 2 minutes or not, but oh, I have more time. Yay. Well, I would like to hear from the staff especially because I would like to hear what are their needs, and I don't think they're asked very much. What are their needs? What do they need to operate their job more efficiently? Like, for example, in the news department, I know that very few people that work in the news department get paid, but we could maybe help them with travel expenses. We could maybe help them with more equipment or more resource. So how can the staff be better? How can this money help the staff?
Thank you very much. Thanks very much for fitting into the time there. And Janae, let's ask the question one more time for our listeners who may not be aware of what the question is, as Bob English gets a chance to answer it. So here's Janae to phrase the question.
Okay, everyone, listeners, and Bob English as well. If someone gave KPFA $1 million today, how would you want it to be spent?
I'm going to answer that question two ways, because, of course, it's an unrealistic question and in some ways not the right question. Because we all know what we need to do is concentrate on expanding the listener and membership base and financial support. But we need to do that through bottom-up community outreach and programming. If we put the programs on the air, if we go to the community, find out what programs they need, put that on the air, that'll take care of the financial support. The question also implies an unfortunate trend in our fundraising towards high-end nonprofit organizations relying on affluent donors, sort of like angels, and giving us big gifts and catering to their access to the station and their program selections, as was done at our sister station in Los Angeles during the hijacker regime. But given that if we did have $1 million, I'll answer it that way. Some proposals, I would use it as to start up the folio. Everybody keeps saying that we can't afford the folio. Then there's capital improvements to and maintenance of the facilities and transmitters. First of all, we need to have ADA compliance at all our facilities, and we could use that money for that. We could also, I believe, there be some way to have repeater transmission in weak signal areas such as San Francisco, Sacramento, and other places extended throughout Northern California. We could make studio improvements and improve the phone system so that we could get more people on the line at the same time for interviews and call-ins. And then we could also use it as a program to expand public affairs and local news, and to cover protests and have some mobile way to get into the community. We used to have a mobile van. That could be restored through that money. And we could send news reporters and equipment and materials to communities that aren't being reported now. And then I
Thanks, Bob. That's 2 minutes there.
All right.
So we want to, again, you are listening to the KPFA Local Station Board Candidates Forum, the fourth and final on-air candidates forum before the election process. And as we wrap up with our candidates here, we want to give them a chance to give out their contact information. So we'll begin with Steve Conley. Steve, if you can tell people how to get a hold of you.
Surely. You can reach the I-team at www.radiopoetics.org, and you can reach me at Blackhawk Media, BlackHawkMedia, .blogspot.com, and there you reach all our information and background information for my team.
Thanks very much, Steve Conley, and now Chandra Hauptman with the same info.
Just so you know, the I-Team stands for Integrating Independence and Integrity, and that's what we stand for. And radiopoetics.org is our website, and my contact email is lsbch@lmi.net. And thanks so much for hosting this.
No problem. And also, Bob English, information for you on how people can get a hold of you.
Well, you can contact me and other people's radio candidates through email and refer to our website and the information that's posted there, including our candidate statements, which I would encourage listeners to read carefully for the collective statements that we tried to provide information at peoplesradio.net.
Thanks very much, Bob, Chandra, and Steve, for your participation today in this second hour. We really appreciate it.
And thank you very much.
Sure. And as you hustle and bustle out the door here, we will also ask you to stay tuned because in the next couple minutes, I'm going to be speaking with Janae Jenkins and Felipe Messina about the election process and your knowledge of it as it exists today. What is the process? When are ballots due in? What do people do if they haven't received their ballots? What's going on?
Ballots are due in November the 15th. We have to receive the ballots by November the 15th. If you have not received a ballot and you feel that you should have received a ballot, please contact me with your name, your full name, and your address at votekpfa@gmail.com. Or you may reach me by telephone at 510-848-6767, extension 266. For a quicker response, I would contact me via email with all your information. Also, I would like to let listeners know, and candidates as well, Monday night I will be here from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m., handing out ballots, comparing them against the few lists that I have. I'll be here Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., Thursday from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. And since I'm not sure what my hours will be for that Friday, but those were my hours would be for Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. So if you need assisting in filling out your ballots. I can't assist you with how to vote, but I can help you fill out your ballot. So I'll be here Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Monday and Thursday from 2 to 6 p.m. Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Also, if you have any other questions regarding the elections or the process or any constructive criticism, everyone knows that's my favorite line, please contact me at votekpfa@gmail.com to learn more about the candidates and their question. There's questionnaires on our website, which is www.kpfa.org, and I believe we're under the LSB elections.
Now, let me ask you just a couple more questions on what you've said. So let's say somebody hasn't gotten their ballot and they come in and you're not here. They can't really do anything, can they? They have to come back when you're here to get a ballot.
They can call me or they can email me, but I'm the only one that's going to be handing out ballots.
You're not going to be mailing them out. In other words, if they called the station and say, I didn't get my ballot, will you mail me another one? You're going to say no because the deadline is so soon.
At the same time, yeah, that's a very good point. That's why I made myself available to hand out ballots. But
and is the process going to be when they come in, they're going to say, I didn't get a ballot. You're going to check to see if one was mailed to them. You have a list somewhere to see if people have been sent a ballot that are saying that they haven't received one? Right. Are you going to just double-check that?
Well, two answers. Number one, it is my safe assumption. If they haven't received a ballot by now, then I should hand them out a ballot. I can check it against a list.
But you have a list that shows who's been sent things.
I have access to that list. Yeah, yeah. But sometimes things get lost in the mail, right. So someone, I might have them on the list after the ballot being sent out, but they still don't have a ballot.
Now, when they come and get that ballot that they haven't received, should they try to fill it out right there and then hand it back to you rather than to take it away? Is that advantageous to the process, or will they have a couple of days to make that decision?
They'll have a couple of days. No pressure. I don't want to.
Are we probably asking them to drop it off at the station after they fill it out because it's so close that would be better? And do they just leave it with the receptionist or something after they've...
No, actually Monday I will have a lockbox, but I'm not sure what time I'll have the actual lockbox.
So they really need to get it to you rather than to leave it with somebody else because that could corrupt the process.
Right, it can corrupt the process. And the magic word here is lost. A lot of things get lost.
So we wanted people to be sure to be aware of these things, and that time is of the essence, and that you are going to need to check in with Janae to get things straightened out and make sure that that gets back to Janae once you get your ballot filled out.
And just so you know, just an FYI, there were some people that put ballots in my inbox previously. So what I did was, when we had enough time, I put stamps on them and sent it to the P.O. box. That way, just for security purposes, because right now I don't have access to a lockbox until Monday, so I just simply put a stamp on them and basically sent them to myself, but just to be fair and to ensure that everything is going proper.
That's
and
great.
For security purposes.
Felipe Messina, who is your assistant here, do you have anything that you want to share with the listeners really quickly here about the process?
Yes, thank you, Jim. And I would like to thank all of the listeners for tuning in to this special broadcasting as we are rather bravely forging a collective vision for free speech, grassroots community radio. And we do apologize if there were glitches. We made every attempt to make everything as fair and accurate as we possibly could. And that is why we encourage people to participate, to get involved. There are lots of ways to get information. Tune in, and we do broadcast information on the candidates. And also there are the websites, kpfa.org and pacifica.org, where you can get further information on the candidates and find out. And also you can contact me if you like. My email address is meessinamorisey@gmail.com. I apologize for that. But yes, thank you, Jim.
Thank you. And just to be perfectly clear with the listeners again, if you subscribe during the most recent KPFA fund drive or are not yet a member supporter of KPFA, you are not eligible to vote in this election. You had to have already been qualified before the KPFA fund drive began, actually several weeks before that, in order to be able to be eligible to vote in this upcoming election. So if you just came on board or if you're not yet on board, you can't participate. But once you become a subscriber to KPFA at the $25 rate, you'd be eligible to vote in upcoming elections, but not this one. So I wanted to be perfectly clear with that, that you can't come in and pay your money today and vote in the election. Not possible. So, again, thanks to Janae and Felipe. Oh, Felipe, you have one more thing?
Yes, thanks, Jim, for that. And that does remind me, as we have just concluded our fall fund drive, if you did make a pledge to our community radio station, we would like to encourage you to please fulfill your pledge as soon as you can, and we do appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, Janae. Thank you, Felipe. Thank you, KPFA listeners. Thank you, KPFA local station board candidates who came in this morning between the hours of 10 and noon. Please stay tuned for Blues by the Bay with Tom Mazzolini coming up next at the top of the hour. And our regular Saturday programming will continue next week from 10 to noon. Hope you'll tune back then. Hope you'll support KPFA and the election process and keep listening to KPFA. Help keep us on the air and help keep us free speech radio. Never stop.